All right, so we should start this. This is the second episode of This One Podcast. And, of course, I'm Bob Martins once again, one of the hosts, and the other host.
I'm Philip Wells from apatheticthursday.net.
Oh, that's right. I should probably plug my site, too. Okay, so my site, I'm Bob Martins from bobmartins.net. And it's M-A-R-T-E-N-S, not I-N-S. I had a high school teacher who still put INS even when I graduated. It was in the card. and he was one that had known me forever. So I always spell it out. It's terrible.
Yeah, that's good to do. Everyone puts two L's in my name, and I have one L in all true. Of my names. So it's like two L's is superfluous. So.
I have been tempted to put one L in your first name, but luckily I've held myself back. Or two L's in your first name, and I've held myself back and only put a single L.
Thanks. So.
I should know that by now, right?
You should.
I mean, it's only been, 24, 25 years? So
give or take, something like that.
Give or take a dozen.
Which I do also have to say, happy Apathetic Thursday to you, Bob.
That's true. We record on an Apathetic Thursday.
We do.
That's good. It'd be nice if Thursday was more like Friday, so that Friday was more like Saturday.
The four-day work week.
Yeah. I'm always a good fan of the no-day work week and the 7-day weekend.
Hey, count me in.
If we could just figure out a way to make money doing that, that'd be the best part.
Don't tell anyone, but it's not like I was doing anything today anyway. So, don't get me started with Encore. Like, okay, yep, just make this DVD again. Oh, button still doesn't work. Okay, let's make the DVD again. You're just sitting around. I'm sitting around all day while stuff compresses and uploads.
Authorizes.
And I should be writing blog posts.
You should. You should try and average about 2.5 to 3 a day. And write them all in the morning within like a half an hour span while you're reading everything.
I have the best story about blog posts, Apathetic Thursday, and someone wanting to advertise on my site, but I think I'm going to save that for another day, because I'm still holding out hope I'll get a response from them, but you'll see something coming up soon.
All right,
hopefully.
Good. I hope so. I enjoyed the Star Trek, the modern day Star Trek post that you had recently. I thought that was very good.
I just can't believe we're ever going to get to that Star Trek point.
You mean how everything always works unless they're getting shot at?
Yeah.
Like, everything always works.
I mean, if that's the case, then we got students at school who are being shot at every day.
It's true. Yeah, that's a good point. I was just talking with my wife about, or someone, I think it was Laura. We were talking about, like, the different generations and how technologically savvy they are, and I really don't hold out much hope for ours. I really think people are dumber than they think they are, and that causes a lot of problems, because they get themselves into a lot of trouble a lot of times. It just seems that way.
I completely agree, and I also think that the smart people of us who have actually done some really cool things have made this problem even worse, because we didn't make things easy to begin with.
It's probably true. I think
that might be good. A whole podcast in itself.
That might be
something about tech literacy. I think was on the
tech literacy, and then I should also, tech complexity should be a whole topic unto itself.
Maybe a couple weeks right there.
Maybe as I sit here looking at all the cables that are draped over my desk right now. And I think this all makes sense to me, but if I ever put anyone else in front of this, they would just be like, what do you do? Where do you go? It all makes sense. It's all Chinese. That's all it is. Well,
yeah.
Actually, it is all Chinese, so I guess that's not a lie. But that's all right. So, I don't know if... let's see. There's nothing really to follow up on from the last podcast, since no one talked to us at all.
True.
Unless you had
something. So we had no feedback. Do we give out a feedback?
I think so. The feedback is contact@thisonepodcast.com.
Oh, that's right.
That's the feedback one, and that goes to both of us.
Okay.
Or at least it at least I hope it does. Otherwise, people have been sending emails and not going to anyone.
Maybe that's why we had no feedback.
So keep on sending that feedback to that email address. And maybe
I have heard from a few people who did watch our show.
That warms my soul.
One of them was a friend of my brother who quickly told my brother that he was featured throughout the show. Much to his surprise and perhaps dismay.
But well, he should have listened to it. Then he wouldn't have been so surprised by it.
I think he was. He was asking me what the website was, and so right, I told
good,
him.
Good, good.
So.
Well, good. All right.
I think we have, from my counting, I don't know what stats you have access to, but I think we have 3 viewers for our listeners for our first episode. So we can only go up from
there. You know what? That's not bad. That's more viewers than producers.
True.
That means we're reaching a larger audience than ourselves. That's pretty good. I guess I should specify. That's 3 more. That's 3 not including ourselves, right?
True. I did listen to us, and we sounded great.
So that's 4. So we'll go 5. We'll go 5.
Sweet. I can,
not counting how many people just clicked on it, thought it was something else, and then quickly turned it off.
Well, it's this week I'll spam it as a cute kitten video, and
we'll
get all kinds of views.
That's a good idea. We are on iTunes, too. The link's on the site. And then I checked, and you can find us on Instacast also, which is the podcasting app that I use myself. So Instacast and Instacast HD, not sponsors because we don't have any sponsors, but really cool app, and you should use it if you have an iOS device. And I wish they would make a Mac app. Please, guys, make a Mac app.
Yes, please, Mac app. But make it universal so one app runs on all 3 platforms.
Yes. If you need help with that, talk to the Twitterific guys because they've got it down. They're very consistent. I really like Twitterific quite a bit. So it's good. All right. Well, I guess we can jump into what we were going to talk about tonight.
What were we going to talk about tonight, Bob?
Well, we're not going to talk about the humongous quarter that Apple had, which was ginormous, as in we own all the monies of the world, ginormous. Not going to talk about that. We're not going to talk about Google's privacy policy changes. Not going to talk about that.
Good.
Not going to talk about iBooks author because other people have talked about that way too much. So we're going to go all school boring, and we're going to talk about our personal technology setups. And I want to hear about your desk again because I know tidbits about your desk, but probably not everything that there is to tell about such a wonderful and varied desk as your own that you have.
I just wish it was cleaner for the occasion.
So do I, Phil. Wish mine was cleaner and yours too, I guess. I can reciprocate that.
That's why we don't do video.
That's why we don't do video. And we're poor.
And we're poor. That features in, yeah, okay.
All right. Do you want to go first?
Well, we since, you brought, up, go well, back since you brought up a desk, maybe I'll just start off and talk about my desk. Okay. Let's see. When I was senior year college, so that's like 3 years ago, really not that long ago, I was living off campus, and the summer beforehand, I knew I needed a computer desk. And so I was shopping around, but I wanted something big because I got like a ton of computers and I want something that's usable. And so I went in and I to all the different stores and I looked at what they had, and it's all like a ton of money to buy these desks that really didn't fit my needs at all. And so I decided to build my own.
I can vouch for that because I've looked all over for desks too, and it is like a metric ton of money that you need to carry in there.
Yeah.
Crazy.
And, like, I wanted something that wasn't just a flat desk. That, you know, I kind of expected I'd be kind of in a corner of some sorts. And all the L desks that they sell just go all the way back into the corner. And I'm like, that's such a waste of space and clutter. And it's terrible. So I opted for kind of, it's actually part of an octagon. If you were to continue out in the same fashion, you could make an octagon desk. Cool. With these pieces. Mm-hmm. I should have something. We should put in the show notes. I have some pictures and stuff on apathetic Thursday.net.
We'll have better show notes this time. I'm hoping we can actually put actual links in and, you know,
I thought our stuff was pretty good. Show notes were pretty good for last one. It wasn't bad.
It wasn't bad. We'll keep getting better with this thing. I'm opening up a text edit document right now just in case something comes up.
Oh, that's a good idea. Take notes while we go. So, yeah, so on Apathetic Thursday, if you click on projects, you can actually go down and see pictures and a little bit of building the desk. And I guess I do have a blog post from July of 2008. Holy cow, that's a long time ago.
Getting old, Phil.
I know. Wow. It doesn't go quite into detail, but I was hoping I put this on there, and I did. It was cost me about $320 to build this desk. This desk has, let's see, it's about 4 to 5 feet of space with a bookshelf on top to my left, and then centered kind of at a diagonal at a 45-degree angle from the next one is a center spot, which is, again, you know, 3 to 4 feet, depending on where you measure, for a main computer, and then off to the side, basically another 45 degrees from that. Again, you get a mirror image of the other side, but there's no shelf on it. And I made drawers on the side so that I can hide all my cords and my gadgets behind there. A little bit of a shelf for my on the one side for hard drives and stereo, the other side for just drawers and stuff. And the way I built this is actually I could take the middle section out and just conjoin the two ends to just kind of do a weird smaller desk if I needed to.
But I wasn't aware of that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it works out pretty swell. When I built this, I had a 19-inch CRT monitor for a Windows machine, which I put dead center in the middle, and my laptop was off to the side. And since then, both machines have disappeared and have been replaced with an iMac, which is now front and center, a 27-inch iMac, and then a PC, which is off to the side of where my laptop used to be. So it's able
That's a better setup, if you ask me.
It is.
I like the newer one better.
It is. I like the bigger screen with the iMac, and I put in a keyboard drawer that helps. It's better than being up on top. Its desk is maybe a little on the high side. But I bought all the wood. I did the measurements. I stained it all. I put it together myself. It's not perfect, but I really enjoy it, and it fits my needs. I had someone on Twitter yell at me for not, it wasn't on Twitter, it was on Facebook or something, or in a Flickr image. They're like, why didn't you bury your screws? Because all the screws are still kind of sticking out, and like, they're flush, but they aren't covered over. So, I mean, it's,
yeah.
I could go back and fix it up, but it totally fits my needs.
Now, how many moves has your desk survived?
Oh, man. There's a couple good stories with that. So
I know.
I built my desk at home, and it built it out in the garage. And then when it was time to come in, it went into the dining room, and I took over the dining room for a couple months. Then I moved it into the living room and took that over for a couple months. And then it came time to move about 30 miles to where I was going to school. And so we throw all my stuff on a trailer, and we're driving along, and all of a sudden we realize that the desk is not entirely on the trailer. And I'm like, this is bad. So we leave the trailer on the side of the road and just turn around to try and find this missing desk. The centerpiece of the desk was no longer on the trailer. It had fallen off after we crossed the train tracks and was lying in the middle of the road. It had cracked in half from the fall lengthwise, and was like lying face down with the tall stand at the end pointing like 3 feet up into the air, and everyone was driving around it as at this busy intersection. And I'm like, it was fairly devastating at the time, because you're like, really? This is like just completely cracked and scratched, and it, I haven't even used it, and it's fallen off a truck. And but the rest,
I remember the phone call. I remember the phone call after that happened.
Oh man! It the glue. I used some Gorilla Glue stuff, and it held together amazingly. It looks, you know, it looks like you can hardly even tell. It's a little scratched up, but the rest of the move went fine, and then it moved back there fine, and since then it's really just been in one spot. So really there's been two big moves, one off to Mankato and one back from Mankato. But it's held up.
And then it moved while you were there too.
A little bit. Not too much.
I think just once, right? Once, twice?
Maybe.
I forget.
I only lived in one house in Mankato, but
so long ago, Phil.
I know. But the nice thing I did do with the desk is each section is separate. And so for moving, there's actually four bolts that hold, like, two bolts on each seam to hold them together. So I just pull the bolts out, and, like, the pieces are a lot easier to move in parts. If you had to move this whole thing as a unit, it would still be in the garage outside.
That's true. Well, I kind of think you'd have to build it that way almost if you were thinking about moving it anywhere.
Yeah.
So
that's
cool.
That's my desk, and I'm pretty happy with it. I've got some good experience from it, and I get some pretty good feedback from people who see it. They're like, "You made that? That's nice, cool."
Yeah, it's a nice desk. I'm impressed. I might conscript you one day to build me a desk.
That will be fun.
A desk in your own image. That would be nice.
Now, you have some interesting setup for your desk. If I've read the blog posts or Twitter posts properly, your desk has at least had some height discrepancies over the time. So where are you at right now?
I guess I should go back. I should go back and say my desk is a Craigslist special. I go up to the Ruby Years of Minnesota meetings, and sometimes in the past I would look to see if I can find a good deal because I'll be heading up to the Twin Cities anyway. And I found a desk, an L-shaped desk, that met my minimum specifications for depth because I like a good deep desk as far as depth goes for like $20. So I went and very much misjudged how big it was. So I muscled it into our van just so I could close the door and brought it home. And it's a faux cherry top, so it's not cherry at all. It's just board with cherry veneer on it. And so it's nothing special, but it has made, oh geez, 1, 2, 3, 4 moves now? 3 or 4? Something like that. Spent some time at my parents' house when we were in Milwaukee, and then it's come back now to me. Now in our house, and it's in our basement. But the height discrepancy has been an on-again, off-again attempt at a standing desk by myself. Right now, I have it at the normal sitting height. But I built, just out of 2x4s, I built what I call stilts for my desk. And raises it up enough so that I can stand at my desk. And now, today, my brain's acting stupid again. And it's thinking that maybe we could find a treadmill to put underneath the desk so I could walk while I'm working. Like I said, my brain's doing stupid again, not really making much sense, but we'll see. But I oscillate back and forth, and right now I'm at a sitting point. The stilts are in place so I can move it up whenever I want. It's not exactly a graceful way. I kind of crawl under my desk, heave it up on my back, move the stilts underneath the three legs, and then let it back down again. It's not pretty, but I do get it underneath. And it's the bad L-shaped desk, like you were saying, where I have a lot of wasted space in the center part, and all of my usable space is just on the two arms of it. And I wish that it had an octagonal cutout of some sort so that I could actually use that center space more. Because right now, all that's there is I just house my laptop there, and then it hooks up to a monitor so that I can sit forward and face the big monitor. If there was a straight part here so I could rest my keyboard there and not have to worry about my hands acting all weird and funky, that would be best, but yeah, not in the cards.
Yeah.
So my desk, not nearly as many cool stories as yours. It was funny because I woke up my wife when I got home bringing it from the Twin Cities because I was hefting these two pieces of desk downstairs by myself into the basement of the place we were staying. And I kind of slid down the last four steps when I was bringing the biggest part down. So not my finest hour, but definitely not my worst one either. I got it down there, so I was pretty happy about that.
And you didn't kill yourself. So when
exactly? Well, that's what the jury's still out on that one. But so far, it looks like it's the truth. So yeah, that's not nearly as cool as yours. And I only paid $20 for it, and it's falling apart in certain areas.
Well, for $20, it served you pretty well.
Yes, it's lasted, I think it's on its second year now, so I guess I can't complain for $1 a month to have a desk that's big enough to house the amounts of technology that I put onto it. So it's been good. So now that we've talked about the desks, we should probably talk about the stuffs that are on the desks.
Yeah.
Or in our pockets. Or on our desks at work. Or in our cars.
Yeah, we got a lot of stuff. Between the two of us, we could be here a while.
We could be here a while. We should probably try and keep it abbreviated so that we don't bore people too much, but we do have a lot of stuff.
We do.
I'm just looking at all the stuff on my desk, and this is not going to be good. So, would you like to start us off again? Just
sure.
Kind of, just kind of go back and forth with various different things.
Well, my main machine is my 27-inch iMac, which replaced my 24-inch iMac, which inexplicably died.
So jealous.
It may have been in a car during a minor traffic collision, and through no fault of my own, was having problems before that time and significantly having problems after that time. And I ended up getting it replaced, for free. So I jumped from a 24. I had a 20. When I bought my iMac, I bought it, it was less than 3 years because I was still under AppleCare, but it was, it was to replace my, so I had a 17-inch laptop, which got replaced by a 24-inch iMac, and I boosted all the specs as much as I could afford at the time, which really benefited me when it got replaced, because I had a 3.06 or a 3.16 or something, and so they had to give me
the equivalent
or better, despite the fact I was going from a 2-core to a 4-core machine. Going from a Core 2 Duo to an i5, they still had to.
Yeah, they matched the level of the machine within their line.
Yeah,
is how it works.
Which is nice. It's extremely nice. And I had the memory. I had 4 gigs of memory, so I got another 4 with this one. And since then, I've upgraded, so I have 12 gigs of memory right now on this machine. It's only an i5. And all the computers at school are i7s. And when I was on the phone with the guy to get my Mac replaced, he's like, unless you want to upgrade. And I was half a heartbeat away from saying, what's the cost for an i7? And then I stopped myself and I slapped myself and I said, Philip, you're getting a brand new computer for absolutely free. You don't have to pay a thing. And it's more than double what you already had. Like, why are you trying to spend more money? So,
because you can.
I'm like, I don't do anything that really needs more than an i5. So I'm going to live with i5. So I now have a nice 27-inch iMac, sitting on my desk as my main machine. I know you said to be brief, but The one thing.
This is brief.
This is extremely brief. I could go into all kinds of detail. My main advice for anybody who's buying a computer or who has a Mac is to take your wireless or your Apple Magic Mouse and throw it in a back drawer and buy yourself a really, really nice mouse because it will last you forever. And Logitech makes some of the best mice I've ever held. I have two copies of this, their Logitech Anywhere MX mouse. It seriously, it'll go on glass. It goes on the wood of my desk, so I don't even need a mouse pad. So I bought one for my iMac and one for my PC. And I love them because they take two batteries. It's a dark laser, so you can't even tell if it's on or not. The batteries last really well as rechargeables, but it can run off one. So usually what I do is I'm playing a video game, and suddenly my mouse stops moving. I realize what the problem is, so I pop open the bottom, take out one of the batteries, and use the mouse with just one battery to get to somehow get me so I can save what I'm doing or at least exit out of this game and I don't get completely slaughtered. But
that's quick thinking.
It is. It took me a while to figure that out, but I don't know. I just love these mice. They have a nice feel to them.
I'm just wondering, where do you go from here? Because you went from a 17 to a 24 to a 27. So Apple either has to come out with a 30 or I don't know where you can go. You have to get two 27s like, and put them side by side and try and...
I would love to get a second 27 for my PC. My PC only is... When I had my 24-inch monitor, I bought a 24-inch monitor, a Dell monitor, for my PC to match my iMac and to be a secondary screen. Now I kind of wish I had two Apple 27-inches here. But I think what's going to be more beneficial in my future is a 70-inch LCD television.
Oh, there you go.
I'm scraping together some pennies, and when I finally find an apartment or a house to buy, I'm just going to say, you know what, whatever this loan is, add $3,000 to it because I'm buying myself a 70-inch television.
I was going to say, those must be some really big pennies. Like some absolutely monstrous
they will
pennies
be.
You're picking up.
they will be.
I like way to hedge your bets on that one.
That's all I can do. If I may continue here,
yes,
also on the desk, so I got my PC. It's something I got from you. Works really well for the Windows games that I can't play on my Mac. I used to have Windows on my Mac, but it took an hour and a half to update every time I booted into Windows, so I'm like, forget that. Two external hard drives, one as an external drive, which is a dual bay, and so I get an external drive which clones to another drive, and then a clone of my main hard drive. And a stereo system that I bought back in grade school, which still serves me very well. I saved up all my money for my paper route back in grade school, and I bought this Philips brand stereo, which had a 3-CD changer and a CD burner in the middle.
Whoa.
And it was like $500. It was amazing. And I have not burned a CD in it in probably 6 years, but it is my faithful music device.
That's awesome. That is awesome. Well, it's there if you need it. It's there if you need it. That's cool.
In those rare instances when I need to record some analog audio at real time.
Yep. Ooh. That just sounds painful, actually, when you're saying it. Record analog audio in real time. That's like getting video off of a DV tape in real time.
Oh, yeah, I still do that from time to time at work.
I know you do. I'm sure you do. Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
So I'm going to...
So those are the two... Go
ahead. I was going to say, so those are my main two desk machines that I use. I don't use my PC that much. It's kind of become my brother's computer so we can play games together. But it's nice to have a copy of Windows 7 when you need it.
Yeah, need Windows 7.
I'm gonna hold off on my mobile tech and ask you what your setup looks
like.
I'll
do my main ones. So, I have a PC that's very similar to what you have. with Windows 7 hooked up to a 23-inch Dell monitor that I picked up, like, for a song, like, 3 years ago. It was really cheap. So, and that's what I keep running on that, and then I also use it as a secondary monitor for what my main development and work machine is here at home, which is a 13-inch MacBook Pro early 2011 model. It's got the 2.7 gigahertz i7, just a dual core, so it's just a lowly dual core, and a 500 gigabyte hard drive, which I'm starting to get the inkling to update to an SSD or a faster spinning rusted hard drive. And then it's got line on it, obviously, and I've maxed it out at 8 gigs. Now, I've looked at putting 16 in it, but it's just a little bit too expensive. At the last time I looked, I think it was right around like $300, $400 to do, put 16 into it. But when that comes down enough, I would not hesitate to drop 16 in, because it only has two slots, so you have to get two 8-gigabyte sticks then, and that's where the price comes in. But what that means for you is you can drop 32 gigs into your iMac for $800. But the possibility is there, Phil. In the future, when the price
when
is
I have
dropped,
money.
You can drop 32 gigs. Wow.
Oh, what is money? No, in the future, I'm going to have money.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. That's right. I say the same thing. So, but it's. I just have a 13-inch MacBook Pro. Actually, this laptop, my work gave me as my mobile computer, and then I have a 27-inch iMac i5 at work that I use for video editing and Photoshop work and Plone development and web development and answering lots of email, which sometimes feels like the thing I do most of the day. But that's my main machine. I have no cool stories. The coolest story I have is that I came to the Mac a lot later than you did in 2005 when you were the one who kind of persuaded me to get a 15-inch PowerBook G4 at the time, which was awesome because shortly after I got that, I got mono and was bedridden for like a month. So then I had a companion with me for that time. But I do not hold on to technology, or I haven't in the past as long as you have, because you held on to that G4, the 17-inch G4 that you had for a long time. And you would have held on to your 24-inch iMac if it would have worked.
Yep.
But I've gone from the PowerBook G4 to an IBM ThinkPad R40 to a black MacBook to a ThinkPad X40 to a 2009 MacBook, 13-inch MacBook Pro to nothing. And then now to a 13-inch 2011 MacBook Pro. That's just the mobile ones, the laptops that I've had during that time. I mean, I've had a multitude of desktops that I've built and rebuilt and shuffled around during that time, too. I'm terrible. It's like a disease, actually. I have computer attachment disorder or something like that I just cannot keep holding on to the things. I'm hoping this time that I can just give it a little bit longer. You know, if I can go 2 years, that'd be amazing for me.
Well, it is kind of nice, though, in those situations, because you have a lot of experience with a lot of different devices, and you can kind of get a chance to see what works and what doesn't. In some ways, I kind of look at what I have, and I'm like, you know, I kind of wonder how I'd work under those circumstances, or, you know, if I could play around with some other tech from time to time.
Oh, I still play around with other tech. I just can't hold on to anything. it's just so bad. So we'll see. Hopefully this MacBook Pro, I actually have AppleCare on for 3 years. So my goal is hold on to it for the whole life of AppleCare, you know, get into that sort of habit. I've always wanted to have a Mac Mini that I can have at home and use as a home, as a server, a Mac server. But disposable income is not there to support that.
Yeah.
That want at the moment. But that'd be one thing I would like to add, along with a Thunderbolt display.
Yep.
You know, it would just be nice. You run the one cable and you get Ethernet and FireWire and Thunderbolt and USB. I mean, the one cable is all you need to run. And you get all that. That is just, that is cool. That is just, that is neat. It's like having a dock port replicator without having a port replicator. So, well, that's my main machine. I mean, I use the Windows rig mainly for gaming, and it's kind of sitting here idle waiting for Mass Effect 3 to come out right now. But I use the Mac for everything, and it's been great. I'm really happy with my setup, even if it's only a lowly dual core. It still, I mean, if I put an SSD into it, oh, those things are snappy. Oh, yeah. Would be nice. So those are my two main machines. The more interesting stuff is what we use when we're not sitting at our desks, because sometimes it feels like that's almost the most important, the more important
stuff
now. It is.
If I was going to be completely honest, even more than my iMac, my iPad is really my main machine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. For me, my iPhone is kind of like the second thing I couldn't go without. I would probably give up. I would give up my laptop and my iPad before I gave up my iPhone. I carry my iPad back and forth now between home and work because I keep so much like reference material and just information on it, and it's just so useful, and it doesn't like cause me grief. I guess that's the best thing about it. at least for me, it doesn't give me a lot of grief. As long as you understand the limitations of what it does and you're willing to live within those limitations, it just doesn't give you grief. Whereas my Windows machine, if I want to do anything, it's always giving me grief. Just starting the thing up just makes me sweat. It's like, come on, machine. Just start up. You don't have to give me grief every time.
Yep. And I know how.
But we both have iPads, right?
I have an iPad 2.
Now you have an iPad 2, which is awesome because I've gotten to use it, and it's so much snappier than my lowly iPad 1, which is still, the funny thing is it's still phenomenally useful, even more than a year and a half now since I even picked this one up. Still works great. And does
I think they did a good job in keeping their software so that it would still run pretty well on older.
Yeah. One thing for sure, and this has been brought up in other podcasts too, especially just to plug it, Build and Analyze from 5x5. Go to 5x5.tv. Build and Analyze with Marco Armour. And he talks, in some of the earlier ones especially, he talks a lot about iOS development and what it means for each hardware part. You know, the earlier, like the iPhone 3, had only 128 megs of RAM, which was like the bare minimum you needed. But like the iPad, the iPhone 4, the iPad 2, and the iPhone 4S all bumped that to 256 and above. And the way he describes it is you need that 128 just to run the operating system. So when they added more RAM, that was all opened up for the applications. So that's why it seems so like there's so much space, because they've kept the OS running in just that little part of the first RAM that they had. And so then the applications can just keep on using up whatever they give them as more. So like the jumping from my wife's iPhone 3 she used to have to my 3GS was like huge. And then from the 3GS to the 4 was a big jump, but not quite as big as that. And the 4 to the 4S isn't quite as big either, but it's because when you jump from the iPhone 3 at 128 to the iPhone 3GS at 256, all of that extra RAM was there for the applications and the OS to use, that it just kind of spreads wings. If you want to think of it as Windows, it's like using XP at 256 megabytes of RAM and then giving it a gig more. Like that whole gig, it just makes everything else feel so much snappier because it has more room to fly. Oh, XP. If I can get rid of you, I'd be happy. So, sorry, that was kind of a tangent to go off on.
Oh, that's okay. It's good to know. I hadn't known all those intimate details.
That's okay. You don't have to follow any of the details.
I'm just a consumer.
Just No, not that. It frees your mind to do other things.
That too. But no, I like to think of myself as just a consumer. It helps.
Yeah.
But you,
yeah. It gives you a good perspective.
With my 24-inch iMac, I used to have the mail app open to do all my mail. I used to have, like, Twitterific or the Twitter, Tweety, and all this other stuff, client in the corner. I used to have, like, a couple different web browsers for, like, that were just logged in all the time to Facebook type thing, where, you know, you got your different Fluid or whatever, where you just have those pages, apps.
Yep.
When I got my iPad, I stopped using mail on the Mac. In fact, looking at my dock right now, I just took out three icons for things I don't use anymore on my Mac because it just everything just comes to my hand and I'm away from my computer. And what happens is if I have it set up in multiple locations, I get beeps from everything and then it doesn't update and I respond from it. It's like, it's just easier to respond for everything through the iPad right now. And,
It is funny if I'm sitting down, if like one time I had my iPhone, my iPad, my laptop, and the 27-inch iMac at work all open, all with mail open, and something hit my inbox, and it was like a symphony of beeps all at one time. And it usually it hits Mac, it hits Mac mail first, then the iPhone, then the iPad last. So it was like beep, beep, beep. Oh, I'm like, oh, okay, so where do I start? What do I touch first?
I had the same.
I think that's the definition of first world problems right there.
I had the same thing happen until I finally turned off Facebook notifications because it was iPad, iPod Touch, phone, computer. Like, just stop.
Yeah, I'm glad Apple gave us Notification Center with iOS 5. You know, it's good for those who want it, but I end up turning off most of the stuff anyway. I think the only thing I have turned on now is messages and voicemails. Like, because those are the things I want to know about. Everything else is kind of secondary. So, but I do understand the beeps. The funniest thing is with the Facebook app is when I didn't have turned off mail notifications too. So I would get a Facebook notification and a mail notification within like 2 seconds of each other for the same thing every time. Then I turned off mail notifications.
Life's been better.
No longer Facebook. No. So we have iPads, obviously, and we use it for a lot of different stuff. I think you've kind of touched on it, but what do you primarily use your iPad for?
Day-to-day usage? Well, I use it for email, Twitter, and Facebook, which I check throughout the day, depending on how bored I am. On busy days, I will go on Twitter and find that you, Aaron, Spike, and Nate have had this ginormous conversation which ran on for hours. And I'm like, man, I didn't check Twitter today, did I? But so I use it for that. I use it for messaging either you or my mom has an iPad now. My dad has an iPad. So I kind of got a connections with them. I use it for Skype. Yes, Christmas it was. Surprise to everyone, too. She was looking at me. She's like, you guys got me? So I'm like, it wasn't me. It was dad. So, it's really cool. Beyond that, I just got a ton of apps, and I use them, like, on occasion. The main thing is music and Instacast for podcasts and music, just the Apple Music app for listening to audiobooks and stuff on the way to work. I got a couple games. I try to use my iPad as a to-do list, and it fails over and over again.
Yes. I have not found the right electronic to-do list application, like the workflow for me either.
I found a couple that I really like and that are really nice. The problem is that when I look at my iPad, the first thing I see is a home screen, which has a picture on it and the time. And then when I slide to unlock, I see a list of different apps that could all take up my time. And then if I want to, I can. If I really want to, I click on the to-do is T. Sorry, not T. The number 2, D-O, is the one I'm currently trying to use. Okay. And I like the layout. I like the way it's set up. I can't use it because I have to specifically go to it and look at it and say, oh, this is on my to-do list. And there's been a couple days where I've done that, and it works fine. But I think if I could have a widget on the homepage of my iPad which showed me my to-do list, I could do this electronically.
Yeah, I could see that. I end up always going back to like a little Field Notes notebook and a pen or pencil and just writing things down. I'm just so bad with the to-do stuff. So we'll see. I always go back and try things.
I've bought so many to-do apps, first for my iPod Touch, and now for my iPad. I'm like,
I know.
Even when I had the Palm Pilot and like you could kind of write stuff on it, it was faster for me to grab a notepad or a half sheet of paper, write down a list, and try to type stuff into the little gadget. And I tried it, and it worked, kind of. But it's like my desk is just littered with legal pads where I have to-do lists lined up. Because then it's in my face. Yep. It's right there. I could just look at, oh, that's right. Do this.
Yep. I know. To-do list.
That's another complete.
So what else do you use your iPad for? Yeah. That could be like 3 shows right there. How do you do task management stuff?
So what else do I use on my iPad, or what else do I use physically?
Well, yeah, anything. Oh, anything.
Netflix on the iPad's really nice. I've tried to do some blogging on the iPad. I just found out there's a Steam app. iPad. That's helpful.
Interesting.
No, the blogging stuff, BlogPress is the best one I've found. Yeah. But if you don't, it works well with my WordPress blog. But if you try to add pictures. I wrote a blog post about this a while ago. I don't remember what I used, but it's like it's a mess to try to do pictures. But for just doing text, what I've honestly found is my best solution is an app called Plain Text, and I absolutely love it. You just type it, goes to Dropbox, go to my iMac, copy and paste it out of Dropbox onto the website, done.
And then format it, put in the pictures and stuff. I found that too. I have the WordPress app on my iPad, and I've used it from time to time, but it has to be all text.
I've had problems. It just doesn't work. I haven't tried it in a while, so I'm hoping it's improved. But when I first tried it, it was buggy, and there were delete posts, and it would put up drafts, and it's like, this is not how it's supposed to work.
I don't know. I mean, I just don't think the tools aren't there yet for blogging exclusively. You can write. I mean, and like you said, you can write from the iPad, and I think you have it right when you use like a plain text editor of some sort.
And I use plain text. I have a ton of stuff in Notes. I've downloaded Day One on Andy Inako's suggestion.
I just looked at that today.
So I'm typing in all kinds of forums. I also downloaded Omni Outliner because I've heard Andy Inako rave about it, and I've wanted to try it. I had a gift card for like $25, so I bought it after Christmas. Haven't used it too much, but it looks really nice. I mean, I've toyed around with it a little bit.
Cool. Yeah. Something I've been interested in has been IA Writer. I want to try to give a try sometime. It has iCloud support, and it has a Mac application too, so that you can do the plain text writing, and then it syncs iCloud back and forth. So, or it not syncs. They never use the word sync. It zaps the whatever's back and forth through the iClouds or whatever. Whatever phrasing you want to use for that.
Things. The One Day app has a Mac version, but I don't think it's free.
No, I don't think it is. But I've looked at that too. I mean, and those sorts of apps usually are under $10 at the same time, so it's not like you're going to be giving up, you know, your house for
this,
the year.
So IA Writer.
IA Writer. $199. I should probably write some notes
in the iPad store.
Yeah, and then the Mac app is I think it's like $10 or something. I don't remember exactly. I'd have to look it up. I'll put a link in the show notes. And you said to do, so I'll put that into
show notes.
So we'll go back and forth. Yeah, I know. I just remembered about that. Even though I have the text edit window open right in front of me.
I'm looking at my iPad. That one looks kind of nice.
The iCloud support always interests me just to see how guys are implementing it, because Instacast does it to sync the subscriptions back and forth between their iOS applications, mm-hmm. which is kind of neat. And, you know, it's still really early, but anyone who's using it, it's kind of interesting to see the different ways people are using it, because it's not like a Dropbox clone at all. I mean, it's a series of APIs to do syncing of data more than syncing of files. So it's interesting. You'll see how it works out. So on my iPad, I'm just looking at my home screen here. I have Instacast HD like you do. I use that as my secondary podcast listening platform because my iPhone's my primary. I do a lot of reading in iBooks, mainly because it's an EPUB reader, which Kindle is not. So a lot of my programming manuals, programming books and stuff, are in EPUB, so then I can load them in iBooks and I can use, I don't have to carry around big
that
books,
helps.
Which is nice. I really like iBooks. I think it's one of the better apps Apple's put out for the iPad. It's nice. I use Twitterific for Twitter, and I've stopped using Twitter on the desktop, so it keeps me from spending too much time on there. I'm a huge Reader fan for RSS. I can't say enough good things about Reader as an RSS reader. Syncs with Google Reader, so you don't have to try and manage them separately, which is really cool. I really like it. Most of the apps that I use, I've had to pay for. I shouldn't say that, but that one especially I have. Right now I have Things, the task management on my home screen. The first one, but I don't really use it all that much. I just find it, the syncing aspect, having to be within on the same Wi-Fi network as the other machines in order to sync tasks, is just too finicky compared to a lot of the other apps, where if you have an interconnection, you can sync back and forth. It's supposed to be coming out, but who knows? It's kind of like Duke Nukem Forever, but even that came out, so maybe things, Cloud Sync will come out too. There is always hope. Otherwise, you'll see a theme of what I do with my iPad a lot. iBooks, I do a lot of reading. Reader, I do a lot of reading. Instapaper, I do a lot of reading. Yeah. Instapaper is huge too for me. I feed it articles mostly from Reader and then a Twitter app, and then I read them later in Instapaper. It's been great. I've been really happy with it. And then, besides like Facebook and YouTube and messages and the App Store, the other one I really use is called Draft from 37 Signals. And that I use as for doing just really rough sketches for ideas. And it's extremely basic. I mean, you have only two colors you can choose for the pen. You can trash your, you can erase some stuff. You can trash your drawing. You can share it, or you can make a new one. That's it.
Huh.
That's all you can do. There's no like editing phase, but it's meant to just be really, really rough, really, really rough. Quick sketches. You can upload to Campfire. You can email it. That's what I did to you that one day.
Cool.
And, that's what I used it in. But it's really, it's meant to be extremely bare bones, and it works. I mean, that's probably the best thing I can say about it. Other than that, I have 1Password on here, too, to keep things like passwords. I guess that's in the name. So, and I'm really grasping at straws here. And then also on here, I have a program called Prompt, which is an SSH client. So that if something happens with my server and all I have is my iPad with me, I can SSH into the server and take a look to see what's going on. I do a ton of reading, and I mean, it really is. I do most of my reading on the iPad is what's happened. I don't have a Kindle like you do, and so I have to suffer through the read on the iPad. I'm hoping that the iPad 3 has a Retina display, because that would be amazing, because it's so crisp. Text is so easy to read on the iPhone 4 and 4S compared to the iPhone 3G and 3GS. That having a Retina display iPad, that is going to be, I think, mind-blowing how crisp it's going to look. I hope it happens. We'll see. Because that's going to be one expensive display. One expensive display. So we'll see what happens. But I use my iPad a lot for keeping in touch with you, because that's who I text with messages, really. And then email and reading lots and lots of stuff.
I've completely given up on RSS feeds, trying to figure that stuff out. If I'm really bored and nothing's going on Twitter or Facebook, I'll do searches in Google News to find stuff that's maybe worth looking at. But like between you and a couple other people on Twitter, I can get most of my articles that are worth reading. Just have people filter them.
Well, that's the interesting thing, right? Yeah, exactly. And that's a valid use of, I think, of Twitter, is just to kind of use it as a filter of sorts for what you're doing. I use it for that. I use Twitter for that too, but I still keep my RSS stuff around, mostly because some of the blogs that I follow don't post their stuff onto Twitter, so then I can't follow their Twitter feed. So I have to stick around with their antiquated RSS. No, I like RSS. So, well, that's basically what I got. I do not have a lot of games on here. I do have Elmo for my son. Sometimes I wonder. I think when he gets to school, he is going to be so proficient in using my iPhone and my iPad, and I don't think he would probably have ever touched a keyboard unless I sit down with him and actually have him touch a keyboard. it's interesting. It's gonna be interesting to see how the next generation, how computing and what their expectations for what it can do, how that changes. Because for me, it's like you gotta learn how to type, because that's what a computer has. It has a keyboard, like a physical keyboard and a physical mouse. You have to learn those paradigms. But what's gonna happen with the change in computing now? Is it going to be different? I mean, are the expectations going to be different, or is it going to be an in addition to? And I think probably for a while that's what it's going to be.
Yeah.
I don't know. So should we end with our phones and then kind of miscellaneous stuff at the end?
My phone really isn't worth talking about. It's...
All right, so that's good.
Onward and upward. Onward, right? I kid you not. So I'm at the car wash today because it was finally above freezing, and I don't feel right putting water on my car so I can go have it sit outside and freeze. So I was at the car wash, and I left my iPad. I forgot I even owned a Kindle this morning, and I just had to run off to do my errands, and I get there to the car wash, and I'm like, shoot, I have nothing with me. So my phone is a Samsung Moment from 2010. It's running Android 2, maybe 2.1, but I think it's just Android 2. Yeah. And it's connected to my car via Bluetooth. So if a call comes in, my car will answer it for me, and I don't have to answer my phone. Now, my car has a feature for Bluetooth audio, so any audio the phone's playing can play over my speakers. And so I push the button to kind of turn on my phone, and the screen lights up, and it just kind of sits there, and then it goes dark again. So I hit the button again, and the screen lights up, and I can see the little sliding thing. And I swipe to unlock. Nothing happens. And so I keep swiping to unlock, and the screen goes dark and goes to sleep. And so I push the button to kind of wake it up, and then it's kind of awake, but since I've tipped it on its side now, it's kind of partially awake. And so I open the keyboard, and now it's part of it seems to be know what's going on, part of it doesn't. I still have to slide to unlock it. So I close the keyboard, and now the screen goes dark again. And so I spent like 5 minutes trying to just get into my phone. Now, my phone's not doing anything, but it is connected via Bluetooth to my car. I finally get in to my phone, and I go and I find my app, and I start streaming Twit Radio on my phone, and tell my car I want Bluetooth audio, and bam, it's working. But it took it because my phone was connected via Bluetooth. It took 5 minutes before I could get it to respond. Don't buy a Samsung Moment, if you even possibly could at this point.
Wow. You probably could find it somewhere. Somewhere deep in the recesses of some phone store. Someone.
I would hope so.
You would hope so, right?
So I've told everyone this. Everyone knows this. The people at the grocery store and the checkout line are sick of hearing this. But on February 1st, I'm scheduled for an update to my phone, and I'm walking away with an iPhone, and you aren't going to hear me complain anymore.
All right. I'm going to hold you to that.
I stopped in at the Sprint store and did some recon this week. I made sure they had some in stock. I looked at them, compared them to the Droids, and the Droids are beautiful. But, man, I have not heard any bad things about the iPhone.
You're not going to hear them from me. Not going to hear them from me because I'm on my second iPhone now. I started with the 3GS, and now I'm on a 4S. And it was hilarious because on launch day, I couldn't go anywhere because I had to work. That's what normal people do. So after that, I just asked Laura, would it be okay if I could find a store, and it had to be an AT&T store because I wasn't going to drive all the way up to the Twin Cities. Would it be okay if I went out and picked up a phone? And she said, sure, as long as I brought one of the kids with me. Well, I can either bring the kid that I can't do anything for or the one that wants to always play with my phone. So I brought the one that always wants to play with my phone. And the older of the two. And we found an AT&T store in Mankato, so it was about a half hour away. And when we left and we got there, and they had like two left. So luckily it was the one I wanted, so that was good. A black 16 gig, cheapest model I could find. But the whole time we were there, I had like three people would always be around my son watching him use my old iPhone 3GS, just cruising around, like watching, what was it at the time? Was he watching, I think it was Clifford on YouTube he was watching at the time, or looking at photos or something. They were just all surprised at this. I guess he was 2.5-ish at the time. And 2-year-old just cruising around on a phone without any problem whatsoever, but I guess he'd been doing that for a long time. And so that's how I actually found an iPhone on launch day at like 6:30 in the evening. But I was in rural America at the time. So weren't a lot of people, and an AT&T store. Not a lot of people camping out at an AT&T store to get an iPhone. So I was, but that's my current phone. I've been really happy with it. And I really don't have anything bad to say about it. The camera has been a pleasant surprise. I'm not a photographer by any means, but I just use my iPhone's camera now as the main camera for me. My wife doesn't because she has a digital SLR, so I let her take all the good photos. It's really fast. The screen is gorgeous. And one thing people don't usually talk about with the screen is that when they switched to the iPhone 4 and they had this Retina display, they changed the process of manufacturing the screens so that now the LCD is actually fused. Well, it's not fused, but it's I'll say fuse to the glass. So there's no space between the LCD and the glass. So number one, no dust can get underneath your LCD, your screen. And number two, it's that much closer to your finger. So it looks like you're touching the screen more. And it's not a huge, like, it's not a make it or break it thing. But when switching back between the 3GS and like the iPhone, the iPad and then the Retina display, you can see how much of a difference there is in the manufacturing just by the little subtle things. It's really neat. And a lot of the apps that I use on that are the same as I use on my iPad. Except I have the phone there too. Which I think is anything. On the phones, my wife and I, we have Mint, the Mint app, where we keep track of our finances. And that allows us to add in, like, if we pay for something, we can add in the transaction, then later on they'll match it up when it comes through our banking account, so we can categorize things, so we can keep track of every month how much we're spending on certain stuff. And it's worked really well for us so far, and we're happy with that. But I mean, I do a lot of Twitter, and I read on Instapaper there too. I do not read in iBooks because the books that I would read aren't really formatted for a 3.5-inch screen. And I do keep a case on mine, mainly because I have little fingers on mine all the time that tend to sometimes drop it. So I do keep, it's an Incipio something. I don't remember, but it's not much of anything. It just goes, clips onto the back, and it's really thin and light, so it didn't add any weight to the phone. And that thing is with me all the time. I mean, it's pretty sickening. I have to force myself. I try and force myself now when I get home to set my phone down somewhere and just leave it there. Because when I'm at work, it's just always with me, because I look up stuff for when I'm repairing computers, or I take notes of what I'm doing at the time so that I can get back and do some more research and stuff. I don't have enough good things to say about the iPhone 4S. It's been great. Best phone I've ever used, but I'm setting the bar extremely low because I haven't owned that many phones, and this one's really new. So, you know, take that with a grain of salt. And I'm an unabashed Apple fanboy, so yeah. You still have to take it with a grain of salt regardless.
Well, I feel a lot better about my upcoming decision.
So, I think the screen will, after you use it, it's going to be, you'll start to notice how different it is the first time you see it, in that when you look at text on like web pages and stuff, it's going to look super, super sharp. Because Apple doesn't just make everything smaller. They made everything use, I guess it would be 2 times as many pixels or 4 times as many pixels. Oh, one of those two. They made each thing use more pixels so they could smooth out the edges and make edges sharper instead of just making everything
smaller. I think that was a very good decision on their part.
Yeah. Well, that's the promise of high resolution or resolution independence. That's the promise. So far on the PC, like the personal computer side of things, we have not seen that sort of promise held through. On the Mac or the Windows side, is you get the resolution goes up, everything gets tiny, unless you're getting a huge screen. So that's about it. Yeah, but that's probably my main piece of technology that I carry with me. Along with, I just use Apple's basic headphones right now too, the ones that come with it, with microphone and remote on it. They work well enough, and they fit in my ears.
That's something I don't use very much is headphones.
That's nice. Sadly, with our office, if I want to get work done, I kind of have to put headphones in to keep myself from getting distracted, because otherwise I get very distracted. I usually listen to all my podcasts on it too, with Instacast. It's just easier to keep just one thing, having all my podcasts on it, instead of trying to keep them synced up and everything like I was before. If I just have all my podcasts in one area,
it just works a lot better. Every now and then I try to switch from Instacast to Music or back and forth. It's like, oh, no, I listened to that one. Oh, you haven't downloaded the latest one on that one. That's nice.
Just kind of a hassle. Now, if Apple decided to do iCloud syncing for your podcasts, it's a whole different bag of potato chips there. But so far, no dice. So we have to wait. But Instacast works really well. So I've been really happy with that. That's pretty much everything I use. I mean, my wife has a MacBook. I use an AirPort Extreme here at home for wireless. I have a ton of like miscellaneous stuff on my back wall right now. I'm looking at it. Just miscellaneous computer parts and various different projects. But as far as what I use, that's it.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned I have a Kindle and that I just bought. You talk about a clear screen. I cannot get over the fact that this thing looks the way it does and changes. Like, every time I look, I'm like, man, that's beautiful. But,
yeah. That's the beauty of those, of just e-ink in general and how it's not an active screen.
Yeah.
It's a dead screen. Basically has the same properties as a printed page. That's just awesome. For reading stuff, that is just amazing.
No. The you only really thing is it. That, really well, I use it, I have a specific purpose for it. And so it sits in my bedroom by my bed and that's where I read. So I'm like, I'm not doing a bunch of blogs in RSS feeds here or wherever, but it definitely works for what I need it for, and much better than my iPad for reading.
There's something to be said about single purpose devices that, you know, a multi-purpose device.
The simple fact that my iPad's not sitting right next to my bedside, so when my eyes pop open at 1:30 and I realize that I haven't really been sleeping very well, but I wonder if anyone's ever created like a giant giraffe made out of toothpicks online, I would like, oh hey, let me just go search that right. Like, no, I have to get up and go to the other room if I actually wanted to search that stuff, and I can close my eyes, tell myself it doesn't matter, and go to sleep.
Well, it wasn't a giant giraffe. It was more like a giant hippopotamus. I mean,
I know. It's all then suddenly I'm like, oh, well, what if I did it? Maybe I could be the first person to make a giant giraffe out of toothpicks and put pictures on the internet.
I could just see the FedEx guy going, what in the world? Have 18 boxes of toothpicks going to the post house.
It's these little things that are just not conducive to sleep. Like,
you know, I think it's a good move. Good move keeping the iPad away from your bed. If that's
and like Minecraft,
happen,
I've made myself
move.
Stop playing Minecraft a good half hour before bed because I would, for like a month, I'd close my eyes and see bricks and continue building whatever I was building because it's like, oh, I could do that. And if I wonder if that's possible. It just, no. I just need to set it down and walk away.
Yeah.
Which, it's the technology we have. It's like, don't walk away from me. It's like, no, it's time to walk away from you. It's there's a time to just step back and say, this is too much. And it's, quite honestly, one of the best ways I know to do that is to take a trip. Like, I get into these phases where, like, I find a video series online or I'm listening to a podcast, and I'll listen to the, like, Tech News Today every day religiously that it airs for, like, 6 months. And then I end up going on vacation for a week. I'm kind of without it. I maybe have a chance to listen to one or two episodes while I'm kind of lounging in a hotel room. But when I get back, suddenly the RSS feeds don't matter. Suddenly I can skip a podcast here or there and I don't really care, and it's like amazing once I mean you get into this mindset where I have to check this stuff every day, and then you find yourself in a situation where you either don't have access either on purpose or accidentally, and you're like, oh, I guess there's other things I could use to fill that time.
Yeah, there's something to be said about being able to filter to an extent that way. Let your mind kind of filter through, okay, what is actually worth keeping around and what is just other fluff that I'm just filling time and with right now. So I'm at the precipice of doing that myself. I really have to
I love the idea of cold turkey back. For that type of stuff, because it's just drop everything and you'll pick the important things back up.
Yep. Part of me wants to do that with email. Just delete all the emails. The important ones will come back after a little while. But just delete all the emails.
If it's really important, they'll email you back when it didn't happen.
So. They'll let you know, right? They will let you know.
Yep, I was doing that with email. Somebody called me up the other day. You need to fill out this paperwork and get it to the office. Oh, really? Good to know. Oops.
Must have missed that one. Must have went to my spam folder. Darn. Must have went to my spam folder. That's the nice thing about using Gmail as your mail, because you can always say, Google must have flagged that one. Oops. Oh, well. So, I guess that's, over an hour here, but.
We hopefully had plenty of useful and helpful knowledge for our entire fan base. All three of you.
I can only speak
for myself here, but as soon as you get those show notes up with the show, like, I'm going to be checking out some of those app links that of apps that you've mentioned that I don't have.
Yeah, we'll have to collaborate and get a more more complete list, because I just got a few of them on there that I was thinking of. Oh, today. So I'll throw them up and then we'll get them posted. Hopefully we'll get a list up by the time I get this edited. So,
all right.
I mean, that's it for this time. So adios until I think we'll do 2 weeks again this time. And then if we get it all down, we might start condensing the time.
Yeah, we'll have to talk about that. But 2 weeks sounds good.
So, yep. 2 weeks sounds good. So, have a good end of January and beginning to February, and we'll I guess we won't see.
I will post a screenshot.
You will listen to us in 2 weeks.
The podcast site. So you can see me before the next episode. We should put, like an about page. You should give me a login. Or can I sign up? I can just sign up.
Hey, I should.
I think
I gave you a login already. I'll check that. I'll check it.
All right.
We'll get it all squared away before next time.
Thanks. All right. You too.
Well, have a good night, Phil.
Bye.
Yep. Bye.